It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. This morning we're going to talk about two military forces, one that's being built and another that is leaving the field. In Northern Ireland, British troops are returning to barracks, and we'll have more on that in a moment. Troops may soon arrive in Darfur, Sudan. The United Nations Security Council has endorsed what could be the largest peacekeeping force in the world for Darfur. The UN adds its support to a mission by African nations, and that means UN member states must now provide troops and police to make the peacekeeping force count. Sudan is under pressure to allow them in. Here's NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
4 years into what the U.S. has labeled a genocide, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon praised the Security Council for its unanimous vote. He appealed to member states to quickly contribute troops, saying it is an ambitious goal to try to reach as many as 26,000 troops and police to protect civilians targeted in Darfur.
We must dedicate ourselves fully to deploying a mission which will make a clear and positive difference in the lives of the people of Darfur. They have a right to expect nothing less.
Sudan had rejected a UN force approved last year and only agreed after months of negotiations to this idea of a hybrid mission with the African Union. Ban Ki-moon called on Sudan to be a good faith partner, as did U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad.
Just as all eyes are on the Council to help protect the civilians of Darfur, so too are all eyes upon Sudan. And we look to its government to do the right thing and pursue the path of peace.
While the U.S., Britain, and others say they will impose sanctions if Sudan prevents this hybrid from deploying in Darfur, the resolution stripped out any threats of punishment. That had some members of Congress upset, including Senator Russell Feingold, a Democrat from Wisconsin, who said diplomats were too flexible.
I am very disappointed that the resolution's co-sponsors have succumbed to pressure from the Sudanese government and deleted language which condemned the government for violations of past UN resolutions and peace agreements. And it removed the threat of sanctions in the event of continued noncompliance.
He said diplomatic compromise is important, but not as important as making sure there are tools to punish and stop atrocities. China's ambassador to the UN said his country, a key business partner of Sudan, wanted the resolution to be simple and clear-cut. Sudan's ambassador said he, too, was pleased to see his country's concerns taken into consideration. Ambassador Abdul Mahmoud Abdul Halim Mohammed said even the mandate spelled out in the resolution will be more limited than many think.
So no blank check is there, and the issue is very much carefully calculated in this part.
But Britain's UN ambassador, Emer Jones-Perry, said the resolution gives international peacekeepers the clear authority to protect civilians without getting Sudan's approval to act. And prompted by a journalist's question, he rejected any comparison to Iraq.
Let's be clear, this is not the use of force to try and enforce an agreement. It is the use of force to actually protect civilians. And if you, my friend, had been to the camps and seen the position of the people there, you wouldn't wonder why we were putting in troops and police. We're putting it in to protect civilians.
According to the resolution, the UN has to set up a headquarters by the end of October. The UN's top peacekeeping official said he'll be working nonstop to recruit police and troops, to beef up the international presence, and deter attacks on the millions of civilians displaced in the 4-year-old war. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.